late. I got to thinking and talked to several of you. Churches and ministries often honor those who have served at five-year intervals. We saw that one or two business meetings ago where the church honored pastors and staff that had been around in intervals of 5 years. They were honored. And as Mike has mentioned before, our membership in this class is actually more than a lot of churches in America. So I thought it would be fitting that we do so as well. So last week, Mike and Tracy, while you were away, we took up. I made a secret announcement and took up a secret collection.
Tracy.
So the announcements are this.
Tracy.
So Tracy, why don't you come on up here? Well, I'm about to cry too, so we'll all cry together.
I can't cry. I got to teach.
So let me explain why the first one is a year late. This summer will be 6 years that the two of you have been serving in Koinonia. So it was in the summer of 2015 or so, I think. And so that's about a year late. And then on June 17th, they celebrated their 21st anniversary.
We did.
So what a blessing
Praise
that
God.
Is. So we've got two tokens of our appreciation. So one of these is to sell. I don't remember which is which. So one of these is in Thanksgiving, thankful thanks to you for your service to the class. And another one is to celebrate your anniversary. And we also appreciate your hard work and your dedication and sacrifice to the class. But most of all, we're so thankful for your love for Christ, and that spills out into your love for us. And many of us, especially me, you've really helped me through some difficult times. And so we're so thankful for that. God bless you. You continue to serve Koinonia. And again, we're just so thankful for you. So
thank you.
God bless you.
I have you take the cards.
Huh? You can open these an hour later.
We'll open them later. That's fine. Tracy, here.
We love you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's one of those things where you don't know what to say, you don't know how to respond, but thank you so much. In fact, I was going to say, since this is the close of the series, one of the first things I just wanted to say is thank you so much as a class just for being so attentive and being so interested in the gospel and so supportive of the teaching and interested, genuinely interested, and so forth. You've been really, really gracious. It really means a lot. It really does. When you're teaching, to have a class that cares, wants to be involved, wants to take this. You know, we just had a whole bunch of prayer requests, and if you noticed, every single one of them was to share the gospel with somebody, except Jerry's, which was to take missionaries to share the gospel with somebody. And, you know, that's a blessing. That is a real blessing. And thank you, Tony, so much for everything. For those who don't know, by the way, Tracy and I, when we started leading this class, we took over for Tony and Joyce. And Tony and Joyce had led this class for 7 years, was it? 7 years, yeah. So thank you so much. But yeah, it's a great class. It really is. I tell people this is like a big small group. You know, and it really is, you know, just the way that we care for each other and pray for each other and so forth. It's just a real blessing. So thank you so much for all your kindness to Tracy and I. You know, we'll open those gifts up and I'm sure we'll like them. So we'll put them to good use.
One thing, if I could. You know, this has been a really busy week for me and exhausted. My body was heavy this morning, but I knew that being here, I would be refreshed. This class, when we were down with COVID, we couldn't be together. We came back to church those first couple of weeks, but it wasn't the same. What I missed was this class. And every one of you have such a special place in my heart. There is a genuine love within this class. It's not fake. It's love of Christ. And it is exhibited constantly, and I am so thankful, and I missed that when we were locked down. And so we just love you, and I just want you to hear that again.
Yeah. That is true. And speaking of that, by the way, not to go on too long with the side notes here, but I really do want to thank Dan for filling in for me for 6 months, doing the announcements and the prayer time. I want to thank my lovely wife Tracy, who just spoke, for sending out the emails for 6 months. That can be a little tasking sometimes, at night when you're tired on a Sunday and it's like, oh man, I got like an hour to go. I'm doing an email. So she's done that for 6 months and I'm thankful to her. And also, by the way, Courtney Nickel over here, who has done our handouts so friendly-like for the last 6 months.
Joy.
Yeah. Yeah. I said today, you know, she was standing there by the door with a whole handful of handouts and nobody was coming in. And I said, you look like a person at Halloween who's standing there with a bowl of candy and nobody's coming up to their porch. You know? So, anyway, but just thank you all. I parrot what Tracy said. I really do. I'll be totally honest. There's a lot of Sundays where I go home and I just feel empty. It's like I want to be with my family. You know, it's like you leave here and you go home and it's like, okay, now what? You know, and it's like I just want to continue the fellowship. You know, so just thank you for being brothers and sisters in Christ, really. And let's all spur each other on to continue to love each other and pursue the word and pursue the gospel and so forth. So thank you. So today, like I said, is just going to be somewhat of a loose-ended wrap-up kind of thing. It's not really, really formal. But what we're going to do is we're going to run through, and we're sort of limited on time, which is fine. So I'll probably just shorten this a little bit. But the first thing we're going to look at, if you look at your handout there, is we're going to just sort of summarize the gospel. Okay, we've been talking all along about clarifying the gospel. What is the gospel? And so just a quick summary. What I'd like to do is, you notice there's 4 points on your under the technical side, and then there's a statement. I have just a few things to add to each one of these points, but what I'd like to do is just, if one of you could just, each one of you, when we get to it, just say, you know, what that statement is on the handout, and then I'll go ahead and add just a couple statements to that. So for starters, you know, why don't you go ahead and somebody grab item number one and go ahead and read that.
God is the holy, righteous, perfectly sinless creator of all things. Man, and he created man in his image to know him and to glorify him.
Right. And so he did this by telling Adam, you know, how he was to live and how he was to glorify his creator and to enjoy him. And that if he didn't, he would die both physically and spiritually. And this might sound really, really elementary. Like, why are we doing this? Did we show up to the kindergarten class today? But these truths and these foundational truths of the gospel are being rocked all around us. That's why I just wanted to sort of summarize a very simplistic, straightforward, here are the components of the gospel. Okay. So again, he told Adam that, you know, if you sin, you're going to incur physical and spiritual death. So go ahead and read number two, somebody.
Adam, man, disobeyed God by participating self-leadership and not doing what God said, and brought on his kind what God said would happen, which is and spiritual death.
Right. So every one of you and me are born as sinners, okay? We're born in sin. It's not a figurative or a theoretical thing that we're talking about. It's a literal and a physical thing. We are born literal and physical sinners when we come into the world. You know, man has and always will continue to sin against God by his very nature, okay? And continues to sin against God by rejecting Christ as Lord and Savior. And the reason man does it, the bottom line reason man does it, is because he wants to be Lord of his own life. Don't ever forget that when you're sharing the gospel with somebody. The issue isn't a church issue or a drinking issue or a sin issue or, you know, going to heaven or whatever. The issue is, are you going to be Lord or is Christ going to be Lord? That's the issue. That changes everything. Go ahead and read number three.
God will judge every regenerate person. Righteous wrath for each other.
Right. So again, this is a horrific, the Bible describes this in great detail. Okay. This is a horrific, eternal, physical, and spiritual death that is in hell and eventually will be in the lake of fire, okay, forever and ever. Okay. This is not a religious concept. This is a truth of reality in time and eternity that will happen, okay? And it's important to know that this wrath and this judgment is not based on what man does. It's based on who man is. Okay? Man doesn't become a sinner when he sins. He sins because he's a sinner. He's born a sinner. We are all born sinners, and so we sin. It's a symptom of who we are. Okay, there's a difference there. Go ahead and read 4.
But God, by his grace, has chosen to save some from this eternal wrath to receive his mercy.
Right, and so I want to read a little statement here because I want to get this right. I said, he provides this mercy by giving to those he has chosen to receive this mercy the faith to trust in Jesus Christ's perfect atoning work on their behalf, which he accomplished by living the sinless human life that they could never live and defeating the power of death over them by being resurrected from the dead to eternal life with God. Okay, it's a long technical statement, but it's sometimes, sorry, but we need more than like, you know, little antidotes. We gotta say things the proper way. So that's a little fill in on that. And then if somebody could mention that phrase there that starts with the good news, just read that.
This good news of the opportunity to trust Christ for salvation and to receive his mercy and to by faith exchange one sin and its penalty of God's eternal wrath for Christ's righteousness and eternal life, which exchanges evidence by repenting from all forms of sinful disobedience to God, after trusting by faith in the eternal saving life of Christ, is called the gospel.
That is the gospel. And by the way, for like, you know, folks like yourselves who are talking about sharing the gospel with people, not to be like goofy and corny, but it's like, you might say, hey, you know what, I had this handout from class, and this is what it said. It said, you know, the good news of the, like, if there's a fit for that, it actually would explain the gospel to who you're talking to, if you're a little short on words or you're not sure how to say it. So again, that is the gospel. Now, from a practical sense, you know, you, back to your handout, you know, like, what is the gospel? Okay, it's the offer to trust Christ for salvation and complete and unconditional surrender with death to self by embracing the biblical gospel in practice, not just in agreement with it, and the theology of it. Big, 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 big difference. We started this whole series back in January with talking about clarifying the gospel in light of easy believism. We've talked about a whole lot of other things. We've talked about entertainment Christianity, progressive Christianity, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we started with a story about my brother in Florida, who is one of millions who believes in an easy believism. He believes that, you know, he believes in God, and so therefore he's going to go to heaven. That is an agreement with the theology of it. And even that theology might be weak by those who don't know the word, but that is not the gospel. Okay, believing in Jesus makes you equivalent to a demon. Okay, trusting in Christ and surrendering to him is the gospel. Repenting, that's the gospel. You know, one of the things at this conference that we were just at, you know, Brad Buser and some others, I mean, they were talking, and it's, they weren't saying anything profound, to be honest. They're just quoting scripture. He was saying that, you know, to do what we are requesting you to do, which is to go to some unreached people group in some other part of the world, is going to cost you your life. Like, that's what you're signing up for. Okay, you can forget your cars and houses and careers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You are turning it all in and picking up your backpack as a soldier, and you're going out. And you might die, okay? But that's the gospel. Christ said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He said, whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life will save it. That's what we talked about a few weeks ago with planting a seed in the ground. The seed dies, but the plant and the tree and so forth grows. And that's the Christian life. That's what we're talking about. And something, too, that I don't think can be said enough. What do you think baptism signifies? How many people are getting baptized who have never died to self? And if you've never died to self, you've never been made alive in Christ. Remember the drawing I had on the board where you have all this stuff in your life, and so, you know, you have the circle and you have all this stuff, and then you say, okay, I heard the gospel and I agree with it, so I'm adding Jesus to my life. That's not what you do. What you do is you stop everything and you let God add you to his life. And then you reorient every single thing in your life and say, how do I fit this into being a follower of Christ now? That's the gospel. Did somebody have their hand up? Jeannie, did you?
You would just ask if we knew what baptism represented. I was going to answer
to you. Okay. Yeah, it's being buried with Christ. That's not buried and say, yeah, I agree. No, that's being buried and saying, you know what? I repented. How many of here, and we're not going to get into examples, but how many can raise your hand and say, when you got saved, when you turned your life to Christ, when you trusted Christ, you can remember something that you repented of and stopped doing, or something you repented of and started doing that you weren't? That's effective regeneration. So it's just important that we understand all these things. And this is the basic gospel. And in our world, like I said, we're just in a world where, whether it's, you know, call it whatever label you want, whatever section of, you know, false Christianity you want, it's still self-lordship and it's still easy believism. The gospel, and I said it last time, is this: come and die. That's the gospel. And if you don't like that, or that's too harsh for you, you probably just aren't willing to embrace the biblical gospel, because that's the gospel. The good news is this: if you come and die, you get life. And we did a handout on this that showed like 45 things that you get when you get saved. And that wasn't even exhaustive. A family, salvation, relationship with God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Access to the throne. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know, what happens when you die to self. So anyway, this is just a very elementary, basic, straightforward example of this is what the gospel is. Are there any questions on that or comments before we move on? Okay. All right. Well, last week, and if we just sort of blow by this whole section, that's totally fine. But it's 2 weeks ago. I gave a handout where I was thinking, okay, when we're going to go share the gospel with people, we did a little section called Considerations When Sharing the Gospel. What are some helpful ways to share the gospel with people? And we just had a whole bunch of prayer requests where everybody is talking about sharing the gospel with people they know, which is fantastic. Did anybody, and if everybody, if I get a big goose egg on this, that's okay. But did anybody do that homework or say, okay, on the little handout, it said, you know, who's your audience? What's the situation? Just a couple words on that. And then here's what I would say, or here's in that situation into that audience, here's how I could explain the gospel. Anybody? Okay. All right. What's that? You did it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
This past week, I had the opportunity to, for those of you that know, and I'm not going to go into big details, but the relationship between my mother, my ex-mother-in-law, and myself was big strain. And this past week, I had the opportunity to take her to a doctor's appointment. And that seemed to go pretty smoothly. So the Lord pricked at me to invite her to lunch, which I haven't done since my husband's passing. Mm-hmm. So I took her to lunch, and it just seemed that everything was really, it was a very pleasant, and our conversation was good and things like that. And late Friday afternoon, she called me, late Saturday afternoon called me, and she asked me if I would be willing to come and talk to her about the Bible. Mm-hmm. She wanted to know why I was studying Psalms 23, and I explained to her, I've only gone through the first two verses because I'm in grief counseling right now. And she really wanted to know about Psalms 23, what was so important about that psalm to me. And I told her I was just now learning it, and she said, well, would you mind us learning it together? I'm uneasy about this because I've never, I mean, I talk about Jesus all the time, and what he has done for me. But I feel like I'm in a dark place right now myself. But the Lord has already given me some words to share with her about how important it is for her to realize that Christ is the only way. Mm-hmm. And that if she cannot forgive the past and let go and go forward, she'll never reach heaven. Mm-hmm. Because she has to be able to forgive and forget. And I told her that I have told you over and over again that I've forgiven you. I forgive you because Christ has forgiven me. And that's the only reason that I can forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
For what has taken place.
Amen.
So I guess that's part of, you know, so I have to move forward from here, but I'm not sure how.
Right. Right. Well, that's another prayer request, by the way. Please be praying for Jeannie in that whole situation. It's another gospel situation. It was just fantastic. Kathy, you had a...
I had shared the gospel yesterday on my husband's side. His aunt passed, so I ended up going to the phone and just getting up to make a comment. I end up, you know, talking to the family and stuff and the friends about Jesus, and it was basically about the gospel, mm-hmm. you know, letting them know we all heard the scripture, John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
I quoted that, and I just let them all know that, you know, Jesus loved them, God loved them so much, and what he did when he came and died on the cross, shed his precious blood for, you know, our sins. But I say it's a personal thing, you know, so it ain't like, you know, you just say it becomes personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just basically kind of explained to them to repent, meaning that you have a change of mind, you know, and living a sinful lifestyle, and you repent and turning to Jesus Christ for his righteousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that. So I explained that, and then one after all of that, and I let them know that, you know, we are in the last days, and mm-hmm. you know, Jesus love, we're going to come back, you know, and we all going to stand before God one day, and mm-hmm. what are you going to say, you know, for him
right.
to let you into his kingdom, his
right.
family.
Right.
And I say, you can't say, oh, I was a good person, I didn't do anything
right.
wrong, I didn't hurt nobody. It's going to be none of that.
Right.
So after all of that, the one of his cousin, she wanted to get to know more about God, and then I told her that she wanted me to have Bible study with her, and she said, but I can't read. So when she said that, I was like, okay.
Sure.
So I've been praying, saying, Lord, let me help her how to read. I can still have Bible study with her, but I think she want to be able to read the Bible. So,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
I said I'd go ahead and, you know,
yeah.
get her number. Well, I got to get her sister number. And
yeah.
call her and just pray that God, you know, I would probably get her and bring her to church with her.
Absolutely.
To church too.
Yeah, you know, one key thing Kathy just said, and we talked about it again in a previous lesson, is she mentioned a personal relationship. And so often what happens is we talk, and I think people really have a hard time understanding this concept. They really do, because they've been so just ingrained in thinking, you know, religion and church and stuff like that. So they think of these concepts, but everything is just sort of still like in this impersonal abstract of becoming religious or becoming a Christian or going to church or reading my Bible or whatever it is. And like Kathy said, the personal thing is, and this is another thing, just please remember every single time you share the gospel, clarify this. What we're talking about is an engagement between that person and Jesus Christ, the person. That's what we're talking about. Everything else is secondary. It's them and Jesus. Who, how are they doing? How do they view Jesus? What did Jesus say about them and to them? It's about Jesus. It's about serving Jesus. It's about repenting, not to join a church or a religion. It's about repenting to follow Jesus. It's all Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's the personal relationship that we're creating when we talk about the gospel. Okay, it's a very personal thing, Tracy.
And kind of on the heels of Jane's, you know, quest, oftentimes people think they can kind of ride the coattails of, I went to church, my parents took me to church all the time, I'm good, but the reality is you've got to have that personal relationship with Christ. Now, I mean, sadly, maybe perhaps that's part of where the kids are, you know, kind of falling off.
Yeah.
It really never...
And that's a good point. I do think that there's a lot of reasons why our kids growing up are falling off the trail, because they never got on the Jesus trail. They were always on the church trail, and they were always on the whatever youth group religious trail, and they get to be an adult. So, okay, now I can go be an adult. So I guess all this stuff doesn't matter anymore, because Jesus was never in the picture. He was just part of the religion. See, again, that's why there's a total surrender to Christ, the person. That's what we're trying to do. Becky, you had your hand up.
Two different situations that I had with students. One was when I was a camp counselor, and this girl was, you know, more or less a Christian kid. And the other was a student that I had at a campus school. He had been in a gang. And they both were facing the same question. He said, he pulled me aside one morning and just said, how do I know that God loves me still after all I've done?
Yeah.
You know, and he said, I'm having trouble. You know, I've just done so much. How can I accept this? How can I accept this? And this other girl was still kind of facing the same thing. You know, when I do something wrong, how do I know, you know, God's just not going to let me go?
Right.
And so just kind of briefly, I just kind of went through, you know, the fact that, you know, that before God even created the world, he knew we were going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, so he made that plan, you know, for us. And so he already planned, and he already, you know, planned that he was going to send his son to die.
Right.
He already had it covered.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's already covered it. And all he wanted him to do, you know, was to make that choice.
Right.
And so when this kid that was in the gang realized, and I said, but you have to make the choice to turn from what you're doing. All you have to do is to choose him, but you do have to turn and choose him and to do it his way.
Yeah.
He wants you to love him. He wants you to turn from what you're doing and to do it his way and accept what he's done. He wants to fill your life with what he's done.
And Becky, I don't know if you realize, but what you just said a number of times was him, his, he, it's Jesus. You're talking to him about Jesus, which is beautiful. And by the way, him humbling himself is a huge first step. Remember, we read scripture recently that said we're emulating Jesus when we come to Christ, because it says he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. And that's what an unregenerate person needs to do. They need to humble themselves and become obedient to the cross and die. You know, that's the simple gospel.
And like
this
kid, and it finally, I think it was just the spirit this morning that this kid, I think this is what this kid needed. And normally this kid talked to his house parent, but he had pulled me aside this morning. And then there was something going on that was negative. I won't get into those details. But this clicked for him. And he made a decision for Christ that day. And later it carried him through, and he did a 180 in his mind and his heart, and he assured his parent later that he said God was going to take care of him, and he did in his action, and he even went back to the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
But he even went so far as to have his gang tattoos taken off of his hands, like surgically removed. But
wow.
He went back to the same neighborhood, but changed it, and he did in his mind and his heart make a 180 because he chose to follow the right thing.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Look on your handout. We're going to do two things sort of quick here to wrap up. And by the way, we've been talking a lot about sharing the gospel. And in this whole series, please remember, this whole series was not about evangelism. This whole series wasn't about sharing the gospel. This whole series was just about clarifying the gospel in a world of heretics. Okay, and pressing the church being pressed in on with false gospels and distortions of the gospel and so forth. That's what this was about. But when it comes to actually evangelizing and sharing the gospel, even though there was a little snippet of that in the series, I think what we're going to do at some point in time here is we're probably going to just do a little workshop here and there, a series here and there on sharing ideas and scripture of how we share the gospel with people. I think everybody here, as the feedback I've gotten, is that everybody here just wants to know more and more and more about that. Like, how do you share the gospel? What, you know, whatever. So I think we're going to do that. You're going to see that over time. This passage on your handout in Luke 4, 18 and 19, I memorized this a while back, and I just wanted to throw this out to you as a reminder, because this here, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, okay? This is Jesus in Luke quoting Isaiah, talking about him, okay? And Luke's awesome because Luke, in multiple locations, talks about Christ pointing the Old Testament to himself, which is just really, really awesome. But as we think about sharing the gospel, now granted, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ, but as his disciples who are emulating him as we share the gospel, just keep this in mind. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. I think of a person in a jail cell who just is wrapped up in a prison and can't get out. Well, you're going into the prison. That's called the world. And you're going into that jail cell. Well, that person is sitting there captive. He's blind, recovering sight to the blind, and he's oppressed. Set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what we're doing with the gospel. We're going into the prison of the soul who's in darkness, and we're sharing the gospel and bringing that person to light and giving them sight and walking through the other end of the prison. That's what we're doing. Just keep that in mind. One thing I want to do here, and I'm going to do this in closing because we're sort of out of time. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. And I thought, you know, this chapter is really, really applicable to so much of what this series has been about. So I want you to just listen to this. I'm going to read it in total, and then we'll wrap up. My little children, which is the church, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have risen. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be with us, change us, make us more like you as we continue to walk this journey of our life in you. We thank you, Lord, for those of us in this class who you have saved. And Lord, we just ask that you would help those that we are talking to about you to have their eyes opened, that they might abide in you and have eternal life. You are the greatest God we could have ever drawn up on a piece of paper. We thank you. We love you. You're awesome. You're holy. You're righteous. You're just. You're perfect. You're compassionate. You're gracious. You're long-suffering. You're understanding. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.